the offer and is, quote, considering it. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to be talking about a refreshing topic today, a topic that is so much needed not only in our world, but even more specifically, so very important and so needed in the church today as well. We're going to be talking about the subject of kindness. And to do that, we're going to be looking at a book that is put out by Mary Beakey. Now, Mary, you know her last name probably very well. She's the wife of Joel Beakey, Dr. Joel Beakey, who, of course, he's been on the broadcast with us before, just a prolific writer, teaches in a seminary. I think he pastors a church as well. He's actually going to be here in Greenville in just a few weeks. He's going to be speaking, I think, at the GPTS, the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary's conference that they're putting on. I think the conference is dealing with John Calvin, and he's going to be here speaking at that conference. And just I'll look up the dates here during the broadcast and tell you specifically, but in just a few weeks. But Mary, his wife, has written a book, really a book that is coming directly from her heart. She wanted to write about something that was of there's a lot of topics, of course, that would be of interest to us as Christians, but this is a little bit more than that, something that was near and dear to her heart, this idea of what the Scripture has to say about kindness. In fact, the subtitle here is, let me give you the full title, it's The Law of Kindness, Serving with Heart and Hands. And that's what her real desire is speaking about this issue and writing about this issue now in this book. The book is put out by Reformation Heritage Books, and I'll give you the website as to where you can get a copy of that book at a great price throughout the broadcast. But before we go any further, let me go ahead and welcome Mary into the program, and we'll get started with our discussion. Mary, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, I'm sure, and helping your husband and all the other things you do as well, taking time out to be with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Mary, I was so happy when I saw your book because I, like you, as you mentioned here in the beginning of the book, feel that this is a very, very important subject. You know, there's a lot of theological things that your husband writes about, of course, and those are certainly important, us being correct about justification and the atonement and so many glorious doctrines contained in Christianity. But at the end of the day, unless we exhibit an understanding coming from those doctrines, unless the character of our life is one of kindness, I don't think that those doctrines do the church a whole lot of good. We've got to be able to show kindness, not only to the world around us, but even more specifically in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Is that part of the passion that you had in writing this book?
Yes, it is. Christ is a God of love, and kindness goes hand in hand with that love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hands and it's the expression of the love of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're Christians and if we're called after his name, then we're called to follow that example and display his love to others. And kindness can be exhibited in small ways, in large ways, in everyday ways.
You launch, I think, this book off of the verse that we find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where it says, "And be ye kind one to another." Did you also have in mind the statement that is made about the virtuous woman? Is that where the title came from?
Yes.
Proverbs 31, I think it's 26 or so?
Yes. We were having a dinner time discussion once and talking about possible titles of my book, because my family lived this book with me. It took me 6 years to write it because of everything else was, you know, first priority.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter Esther came up with the title, The Law of Kindness, and we all agreed that's it.
Mm.
Because it exemplifies not only kindness and softness, but also the law, which is, there is a law to it. There are requirements that we be loving and kind, and kindness is not wishy-washy,
mm-hmm.
which some people seem to think that it is.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of kind of bogus definitions that we use, and after we get done just setting this up, I want us to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, I want you to give us a good working definition. Let me read that verse for folks just so that they understand the context of it. It was verse 26 of Proverbs 31. It says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." So here's this model character that is presented to us in the scriptures here in Proverbs 31, that certainly not only women have aspired to this, but certainly there's a lot of characteristics in here that are cross-gender, you know, that should should be found in both men and women in our Christian faith. But here is, you know, when speaking to somebody, and I found it interesting that the law of kindness is attached to the tongue.
Right.
James talks about how much damage we could do with the tongue. Well, here's the positive side of this. The writer of Proverbs here is saying, in Proverbs 31, is saying that, you know, in her mouth is wisdom, but her tongue is the law of kindness. That's important, isn't it?
Right. It's the principle of kindness that is rooted in our hearts.
Mm.
And it's not just words, and it's not just superficiality, but it goes much deeper than that.
Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
And so what is in our heart is going to come out, and, you know, we're hoping that what comes out is kind words rather than so many destructive words that we see so often today. That's why I found this broadcast to be refreshing, the topic that we're talking about. You write in the beginning of the book, Mary, in the introduction for it, about an event that took place early on in your life, I think in high school, and I just couldn't help relating to that event. Not the details of your event was completely different than the one that I raced back to in my mind, but the similarities were that we've all, I think, been involved in events where something was happening to somebody that was unkind,
right,
and we failed to do anything about it. If you would, just briefly tell that story again of what you saw and how it impacted you, and then I think our listeners will see what I'm referring to.
Right. I believe I was around fourth grade, something like that, and our school was kindergarten through eighth grade, so some of the junior high students there was a group gathered on a little hill, and, you know, my friends and I went to just go check out what the action was, and there we saw standing just in the middle of this crowd a young man, one of the junior high students, and the other students had tied his hands behind his back, and I don't remember if his feet were tied or not. They may have been. I don't remember that, but they were mocking him, and the thing that stands out in my mind so clearly is that they had tied his wrist so tightly that one hand was purplish-reddish, and the other one was white.
Mm.
And, you know, something was happening with the circulation, and I just remember the bell rang, and we went inside, and he stayed out there, and so that's why I think maybe his ankles were tied, too. I don't know. It was just made such a huge impression in my mind, but I was pretty young, so couldn't really stand up to junior high kids, but it just makes my blood boil even when I think back on it now. And that made a deep impression on me, and, you know, other probably lesser experiences and you know, my own convictions. I'm not, certainly not the picture of perfection when it comes to kindness, and yet I love it dearly. I love kindness. I love to receive it. I love to give it. And I just think kindness is such an incredibly beautiful thing, both in the church and in the world.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing.
You mentioned that you replay or have replayed that that event over and over again in your mind, thinking now that, you know, that you could have done something, you could have went out and freed the person somehow, or I think you mentioned even in the introduction that you played it back where you were beating up the the people that tied up the young man, you know, and coming to his defense.
That was in my mind. I don't think I would have had the courage to do that, but that's what I wanted to do.
As I thought back to instances like that in my own life, you know, where something, an act of unkindness was taking place, and I could have did something, and I didn't. You know, I just repent before the Lord and just ask Him to help me the next time I see something like this to act and to come to that person's defense and to say this is wrong and we shouldn't be treating people this way.
Right.
I want to come back. When we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and define kindness for our listeners, and then we'll work through your book from there. You're listening to Knowing the Truth. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660. Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to encourage you, you're certainly welcome to call in and join the conversation today with my special guest, Mary Beakey, who's the author of the book, The Law of Kindness, Serving with Heart and Hands. It's got some wonderful endorsements on the back of the book. It's been endorsed by Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. It's been endorsed by Dr. Derek Thomas. And it's been endorsed by Dr. Wayne Mack. Mack, Wayne and Carol Mack, his wife as well. Those are some heavy-duty endorsements for this book, and I'm glad to see that because although kindness probably doesn't get that much airtime, unfortunately, in the Christian church, it doesn't get that much mention. It should, because it the idea of loving one another is a major element in the Christian church. So I'm so glad that this book has been endorsed by men and women such as that that are mentioned on the back of the book. Let me tell you where you can get it and how much you can get it for. You can get it out at heritagebooks.com. That's heritagebooks, I'm sorry, .org, heritagebooks.org. And you go out there and you can find this book. Just type in Mary Beakey into the search engine and you can find it. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret with the book. They changed the cover of it. The cover now is lighter than the original cover. If you look for the one with the darker cover, the content is exactly the same. But the one with the darker cover, because they've updated it with a lighter cover, that one is on sale for $5. So for $5, you can't beat it. $5, you can get a copy of this book out on Reformation Heritage Books website. And again, that page is www.heritagebooks, that's plural, .org, and then you can find a copy of the book out there. Just before the break, we were speaking with Mary Beakey and said that we wanted to visit the idea of defining what is kindness. Mary, in the opening chapter of your book, that is what you do. You define that. Would you give us a little synopsis of what you write there in that opening chapter?
Sure. I like William Bennett's description and definition of compassion, and then I'll go add to that. It reads, a virtue that takes seriously the reality of other persons, their inner lives, their emotions, as well as their external circumstances. It is an active disposition toward fellowship and sharing, toward supportive companionship in distress or in woe. Mm-hmm. And I would add to that we see kindness in two parts. There's the inner part, the feelings of compassion in the heart and the motives of the heart to help others. And then the second part would be the resulting behavior that's intended for the improvement of another person's situation. Mm. So some people define that maybe as kindness and goodness or kindness and acts of kindness, but I just lump it all into one as kindness.
Mm. I like there's a number of definitions that we can work from here in establishing a good working definition for the rest of our conversation. But Jerry Bridges, who will be here in Greenville in just a, let's see, I think he's going to be here in April, April 17th through the 19th. He'll be here as part of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology that's coming here as part of that conference. But he, you quote him in the book as he explains kindness as, quote, kindness is the sincere desire for the happiness of others. Goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness.
Right.
And so he makes a little bit of a distinction there, but then just another good working definition. Here's one that I looked up, too, before the broadcast. I think I just got this off of dictionary.com. Basically, I use the computer quite a bit. But anyways, I looked up the idea of kindness and gentleness. Gentleness is the word that appears in the King James Version of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5.
Right.
But it means the same thing as kindness. And it says this, it is kindness, civility, clemency. I love that word clemency being in there because it has the idea that somebody has offended us in some way, but we're willing to pardon them, you know, and show them kindness. Compassion, leniency, forbearance, soft-heartedness. Those are all great terms that are all encompassed in this word kindness.
Right.
And then just let me give a couple of the opposite terms so that we know, you know, what kindness doesn't look like. Here's a couple that came up that were antonyms. It says curt, abruptness, discourteousness, gruffness, shortness, harshness, rudeness, Those are all those types of words that are built into it. So you think that's a fair working definition?
Yes, I think that sounds very good. Mm. I would even add to the opposite ones, like cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I think I mentioned a few antonyms also. I can't quite find them. Oh, yeah, harsh. Not being sympathetic to or considerate of others. Harsh, severe, cruel, rigorous.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say lacking in empathy, too.
So now that we have all of these words describing what kindness is that give us a better understanding of exactly what we're talking about, you're proceeding the book then to talk about the manifestations of kindness and the varying degrees of it that we see displayed. Would you just speak to that a little bit?
Right. Kindness can be manifested in many different ways. It can be just so much as a smile or a kind word, or it can be, this ties in with varying degrees too. It can be a person who gives their whole life to serving others on the mission field. So it can be small or very large. It can be silent.
Mm.
I think the story of Noah when he was drunk in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and Shem and Japheth walked backwards and covered him, and Ham brought attention to his father. So they, you know, the Shem and Japheth's kindness was wordless, but they covered up Noah in his moment of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And kindness is something that we can sort of infiltrate into our whole life. It can be just in the tone that we speak in. It can be in little volunteer activities. It can be in sending a card. Kindness is just something that it can be part of our lives, really with very little effort if we just really try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I have to keep coming back to in the book is that we're sinners. And that's something that gets in the way of kindness quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that little problem of sin, right?
Right, right.
You mentioned also about the importance of kindness. One verse that comes to my mind, and this deals primarily within the church, is John 13:35, where Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And so obviously included in that idea of love, which is we have a divine definition of that in 1 Corinthians that's given to us, is the idea of kindness. In fact, kindness appears in that list, in that definition. And so I often think, when I think about the Lord Jesus mentioning this in this text, what he does, all of the things that he could have inserted there. He could have said, by your great preaching, all men shall know that you are my disciples, or
right.
By your beautiful buildings, or by your, great creedal statements, or something like
that. Or even by your piety,
yes.
Which is important.
That's right. And yet he bypasses all of those, not that they're not important, but he bypasses them and says that this one thing is how the world is going to know. This will be the litmus test. This will be the determining factor of the genuineness of your faith, is that the world will see that you have love one for another. That, now,
right.
If that doesn't stress the importance of this, I don't know what does.
Right. It's just the bottom line, and it's foundational, because God himself is love, as we said before, and everything else is built on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we show that we're Christians, even not just to those who are loving to us, but also to our enemies. And that's a real distinguishing point also.
Mm-hmm. You bring out in the book Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, which, of course, is the verse that we call the golden rule,
right.
Where it says, "As ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise." You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's such a simple rule, but yet it's so difficult, it seems, as you mentioned, because of our own selfishness and sinfulness, to actually enact in our everyday life.
Right. I think of that golden rule as, and that's also something that the world accepts, even though I feel like they don't always practice it. But
sure.
I picture it in my mind as ourselves in our own pride being up on a pedestal, and Jesus knowing that and knowing what we think of ourselves, and that we're always, you know, there to protect ourselves and our best interests, that he says, pull everybody else up onto that pedestal right alongside of you,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever you do for yourself, do for them. And that's the ruler that we measure our behavior by. And Jesus showed such incredible insight into the human mind and heart when he made that rule.
Mm-hmm.
So simple.
Yeah, in this concept that we're talking about, we quoted a couple verses from the Gospels themselves, but this is certainly a concept that is found throughout the Scriptures. The Epistles mention it very often. We're studying James right now, and I can just think of so many verses right now where James addresses this, that we need to treat people in the way that we want to be treated, and that'll be a sign of the genuineness of our faith. We'll come back to our discussion with Mary Beakey in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
There's only one truth. It's not what I think it is. It's not what you think it is. It's not what Stu thinks it is. It's what God says it is in the Bible.
Truth for the now generation. Guests who push your hot button.
Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. And we just need to start losing the labels of white church, black church. I mean, it is the church.
Hey, Upstate, Stu Everson from Truth Talk Live inviting you to join me weekdays at 5 right here on Christian Talk 660.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency offers free adoption informational workshops the second Tuesday of each month. These workshops offer general information about domestic, international, and embryo adoption. If you have ever wondered about adoption but don't know where to start, please consider attending one of our informative workshops. For more information, please visit our website at www.carolinahopeadoption.org or call us at 864-268-0570.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about the subject of kindness, the law of kindness, with Mary Beakey. We're going to go back to that discussion in just a couple minutes, and I want to let you know a couple things. One, first, you're certainly welcome to join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I also want to let you know that her book is available through Reformation Heritage Books, and that's out at www.heritagebooks.org. That's heritagebooks.org. Also, just a couple of other brief announcements. I want to let you know about the good folks down there at Peak Fitness. And Peak is working along with me here on the broadcast and supporting the broadcast. But they've also put together a little special rate for you if you're a Knowing the Truth listener and you want to go down there and ask for Brent Batson. Ask for Brent, and he'll go ahead and tell him you listen to Knowing the Truth, and he'll give you some special rates on a package there. Brent himself is a fitness consultant, and so you can talk to him about getting in some better shape, and he'll give you that discount. I think the rate now, the special is $9.99 a month to be able to work out there. Let me tell you, they got all kinds of stuff at the one there on Wade Hampton. They've got saunas, and they've got a full court basketball court, you know, so if you enjoy shooting hoops and that type of thing, you can do that down there. Just all kinds of equipment, extensive free weights, cycle room, separate areas for men and women, so just a lot of good amenities there to help you out in getting in shape. Give Brent a call. You can call his cell phone at area code 864-770-5848. That's 770-5848, and he can help you out. And one more announcement here. I just want to let you know also about the upcoming 14th Annual Character Breakfast. This is sponsored by the South Carolina Children's Theater. It's going to be on Saturday, March 14th. It's designed for you to bring your children or your grandchildren so that they can have breakfast with some of their beloved characters, such as Winnie the Pooh or Cinderella or those types of characters. What happens is the actors and actresses from the children's theater dress in character, and they sit at the table there with you and your children or grandchildren, and they have breakfast with you. And let me tell you, this is some breakfast. They're going to have pancakes and biscuits and fruits and grits and eggs and all kinds of stuff. So it's all included in the price, and you can give them a call if you'd like to join in on the fun. Again, that's March 14th. It's going to be held at Thornblade Country Club, so a great setting there. They have two events that day. One is at 8:30. The other one is at 11 o'clock a.m. And here's the number for you. It's 864-235-2885. That's 235-2885, extension 10. Tell them you heard it on Knowing the Truth, and we'll look forward to seeing you there at that event. Back to our discussion now with Mary Beakey. We've been talking about the law of kindness, and we spent last segment really setting up and defining what we're talking about. Mary, from that definition about what kindness is, let's talk a little bit about the root of kindness and where it comes from so that we can, what enables us to have this kind activities displayed in our life.
Okay. Well, the root of true kindness, pure kindness, can only come from the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
because whatsoever is good and pure and without sin has to come from true faith, and it's to God's glory and according to his law. And an unbeliever can certainly have a lot of kindness, but if everything that the unbeliever does is not pleasing to God, then his kindness is not true kindness either, even mm. though it's common grace, and it's still a good thing that he does that. But true faith is the foundation of true and pure kindness.
Mm.
And flowing from the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross to pay for the sins of sinners, and flowing also from the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart of believers, that's the fountainhead of the kindness, and the love is so much a part of that that we already talked about.
Mm. That's an interesting observation that you make there. We do see kindness displayed even in people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't have a saving knowledge of him. And the only place, of course, as you just articulated, that we could posit that, where is that coming from? Obviously, it's not flowing from their heart specifically, because you know, they don't have a reservoir there of goodness to draw from because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. But out of the common grace of God, out of the common good that God has given, the Spirit restrains our depravity, and he enables men and women to do acts that are good, not meritorious good, not that, as you stated, not that it would earn them any sort of relationship with God, because the heart is desperately wicked, and, you know, flowing from that is nothing but unkindness and sinful things. But nevertheless, God in his common grace has made it so that they could do that. That's a great observation.
And because of that common grace, I think if we're Christians, we have to stand humbly next to unbelievers, too. There's nothing that would turn away and turn off an unbeliever so much as a proud Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, a kind but proud Christian. That would just be distasteful.
Yes.
And we have to be humble, and we have to look at the kind deeds of some non-Christians and even learn from them and admire them sometime, even though because of Romans 14, verse 23, that says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, that it's not pleasing in God's eyes, but yet we still have to maintain that attitude of humility.
You know, Mary, when I think about that, as you were just talking about how disgusting is the only word that comes to my mind, the proudness is in a believer. I just think about what is the Church of Jesus Christ characterized by? You know, we have to fight all of these social ills that we have today. Of course, abortion and the homosexual agenda and all of these things that take place that require us to get involved in. But I'm afraid that sometimes we have gone a little bit too far, that we have become rude and crude in our approach, that we're noted for, you know, having placards and bullhorns, that we're known as being unkind in the way that we approach some of these things. Do you feel the same as a real temptation and a real problem for us in the church?
Right. I think that word that you mentioned earlier in the program, gentleness, comes to mind, that we can be strong, and we have to be strong in standing up for God, but we can be gentle and loving in our manner, too, and to be offensive, I don't think is a good thing. And yet, in some situations, you know, the word of God can be an offense because sinners don't want to hear it and they rebel against it. So I guess we have to be wise to know what the situation is.
I'm trying to think where that verse is exactly. I think it's in Timothy, but it talks about us instructing those who oppose themselves, preventure if God would grant unto them repentance. But it says to instructing them with I'll try to bring up the verse here, but, you know, in kindness or gently instructing those with gentleness, because they're opposing themselves.
Right.
You bring up in the third chapter the idea of motives, and you list a number of motives that are not the best motives that we can show kindness from. Would you speak to that issue a little bit?
Right. I think that there are kindnesses that happen, and this is like outside the realm of I can't examine who's saved and who's not saved, so I'm not talking about that anymore. But the motives that we have sometimes are sometimes selfless and sometimes selfish for doing kindness. And I've come up with these things just, first of all, by examining my own heart and seeing some impure motives when I'm kind to others, and also observing other people. So some of the less pure motives for kindness is kindness for personal gain, when we do things that gain us benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the business world is maybe fraught with that. Preferential kindness is when we are kind to some people and not to others. That sort of flies in the face of true Christian kindness, and yet we all do it at some time. kindness for attention. I was going to say children do that, but I think adults do that too. We, you know, we show up at church and school functions, and we are nice to people there, and we get good attention for it, and then maybe we go home and we're somewhat grouchy. Kindness out of fear that we don't want to ruin our reputation. And then I think there's more motives that are more pure, and I list those as well. Some examples are kindness from a compassionate heart, that we really do feel pity or compassion for someone else in their situation. Kindness because we are blessed and have joy from it. So the text, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. If we've experienced that, it's something that gives a lot of joy and we want to do it again. I say it's even addicting because the joy is so great. Kindness because of the golden rule. If we feel the pain of other people and it becomes our pain, then we can't rest pain-free unless we've done something to help them. So when we have empathy and we notice other people's situations, then we want to do something to be kind to them. Kindness in the face of adversity is, this is a true, I think, dividing line of where Christian kindness really shines, and that's when people are unkind to us. That's where the world stops, and they say, forget it, no further. But Jesus tells us to return good for evil, and that's getting close to what Jesus did. And, of course, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, there's nobody who ever comes close to the kindness that he has done, and yet we're called to emulate him.
Amen. I noted in looking at Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned there, that really each one of them is an example of Christ-likeness. And as you mentioned here, you know, Christ's kindness towards us when we were yet sinners, coming and dying for our sins, what an example of how we should be kind towards others. In fact, in that verse that we quoted, you know, the in Ephesians, that we should forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. We'll talk about it more when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
We can pray the Lord's Prayer as a matter of rote and completely miss the content of it as an empty ritual. And any ritual, as rich as it may be in its origin, may lose its meaning by mindless repetitions of it. The cure to externalism and ritualism, according to the prophets, was not to throw out the ritual, but to reform them. And
renewing your mind, weekday mornings at 9 on Christian Talk 660.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
What is the greatest concern in the life of every Christian? It's our standing before God, our judge. Justification through faith alone has been the centerpiece of our faith since the Reformation. Right with God, the doctrine of justification, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Jerry Bridges, Al Mohler, and more. To register, visit alliancenet.org or call 1-800-488-1888.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. That means you're down to under 10 minutes that you're going to be able to call and give your question or your comment about our subject today. We're talking about the law of kindness, serving with heart and hands. That's the title of a book that has been written by Mary Beakey along with her Joel Beakey, her husband. And I mentioned that Joel is actually going to be in Greenville here speaking in, March 10th through the 12th. He's going to be over at the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary for their conference that they're having over there. The conference is entitled John Calvin, 500 Years in Retrospect, a 21st Century Assessment of John Calvin. And so they've got their whole conference. If you're interested in that conference or finding out some more information or finding out when Dr. Beakey will be over there speaking, you can go out to the seminary website, which is www.gpts.edu. That's www.gpts.edu, and then you can see the speakers and the registration and all of the pertinent information surrounding that conference. All of that is right there on their website. If you'd like a copy of the book that we're talking about today, you can get one for just $5. It's I was explaining in the early part of the broadcast that they actually updated the cover of the book. It was a darker cover. I think it was brown originally, and they updated that to a much lighter one. Well, you're going to benefit from that updating because you can now get the old copy. The old copy, the content is exactly the same. There's no difference at all in the content. It's just the cover. But you can get the old cover and the old book for only $5 out on www.heritagebooks.org. That's Heritage Books, books with an S, it's plural, .org. And if you go out there, you'll see the book, The Law of Kindness by Mary Beakey, out there for just $5. Well worth it. Something, this would make a great study in a men's or a ladies' group in your church. This would just be an excellent book for you to go through yourself. So many important themes here that we need to understand in the church today. So much bad news, and not just in our world, but in coming out of the church, unfortunately, as well. So much unkindness being displayed. It's time that we take a good, hard look at what the Bible has to say on this subject again and refresh ourselves with scriptures about being kind, especially within the confines of our church. Let me go back to our discussion now. We were speaking with Mary Beakey just a moment ago about the subject of the motives for kindness, and she explained that to us as she wrote about it in her book. Mary, you lay out a couple chapters here that are very, very practical, that talk about a kind wife and a kind husband. Then you even go into parenting with kindness and these types of things. You're really bringing it home at that point, no pun intended. Tell us what our readers would, or tell our listeners what they would find as they look at those specific chapters.
Okay, my goal was to have something for everybody in this book. And since we all are called to be kind, so the section called Kindness Learned starts with a kind wife, and then my dear kind husband wrote the chapter on the kind husband, and he is indeed a wonderful man, and he's through and through kind at home and outside of the home also. I just can't sing his praises enough. And then a chapter on parenting with kindness, because we all need that. And then as a child moves on, and if the child is not homeschooled, goes to school, the teacher's role in teaching kindness and exemplifying that. And then a negative chapter on bullying, because I just feel very strongly that bullying is a problem that will always be with us as long as we're sinful people walking on this earth. Mm. As long as there are schools and homes and playgrounds and parks, it will be there, and we have to fight it. And the bully has to be brought out of the shadows and dealt with, and it is a problem that is surmountable. And then there's a chapter two, children and teens, and that starts out with a story about a boy who was bullied and how he came to how they came to be friends, and then a section addressing children if they are a victim of bullying, and then a section addressing the bully. And I just try to make it very, very practical. And the closing chapters are also practical, kind thoughts that we examine not only our outward behavior but our thoughts, kind words, and then kindness to the least of these, which is my favorite chapter because I think that's just Christianity exemplified in a nutshell, to be kind to, you know, the least of these, the lesser people of this world, who are esteemed lesser anyway. And then your kind of kindness, which is sort of a wrap-up of everything that wasn't addressed anywhere else.
Well, I'm glad that especially the sections, all of the sections that you just talked about, I think are so needed. But in talking about kindness in the home, I think that in the church, that's a very important message. I'll be preaching this week at the service. I mentioned that we're going through the book of James, which a lot of these themes you're talking about just resonate so closely. James, in the opening chapter, talks about us not being kind to the rich and then disparaging the poor. You know, we got to be careful that because of our economic status, we don't treat people differently. But also this idea, I'll be preaching about the wrath of man versus the righteousness of God from James chapter 1 and verse 20. And, you know, this idea of anger, you know, that we present ourselves one way in the church and with our Christian brothers and sisters, but then we feel at liberty that we can go home and we can be curt and abrupt and with the people that we love the most. And sometimes the husband is, you know, a little pharaoh walking around the house there, and everybody's walking on eggshells waiting for the next eruption. And he feels that in some way, you know, he has some sort of biblical warrant to be this way as the, quote, head of the house. So I'm so glad that you address this, that above all of the places, we should be kind to our to the people that are closest to us there in the home. We shouldn't treat people one way outside of the home and a different way inside of the home. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. Ron has called in with a question or a comment today. Ron from Greenville. Ron, go right ahead, please.
Combination. One of the things that I studied into deeply was a Christian study in the area of humor, and I find that a very serious lack of kindness comes across through abusive humor. And also, I have, you know, found way too much that oftentimes a lack of kindness through power and control and power plays among church leadership, and oftentimes that is abuse of the sheep, is common as well. Do you touch on any of those things in the book? I'll listen offline.
Thanks, Ron.
I do think that I have had so many people mention kindness or lack of it in the church. I mention it more in the context of several examples and stories. I probably should have, you know, after I came out with the book, I realized that that is a concern of people, the lack of kindness in the church, and we certainly have had times, too, where we've experienced that in a great way, fortunately not now, but I do address it mostly in just sort of anecdotal fashion. And then your question about humor, I do address that. There's a section called A Place for Teasing, and I'm quite sensitive myself, so I have very thin skin when it comes to humorous things that are cruel. And I use the example of our own home. We use the pain principle in our own home. Teasing is fine. It can be fun. And some people just operate that way. But humor, if it's at the expense of, and it causes pain to someone else, then it's not kind, and there's no place for it anymore.
Yeah, I believe the scripture speaks about that we should avoid coarse jesting, you know, hard and jesting that really goes at the character of a person or, you know, strikes at the heart, and we need to be very, very careful of that. I think that the question about the church would be great to have a time to address that, because I think, unfortunately, in some cases, the church is noted for shooting their wounded, which is a huge problem.
Right.
Mary, our time is gone. Thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking about the law of kindness. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.